I think one of my favorite stories growing up was The Ugly Duckling. The Ugly Duckling was this story of this lost, what we thought was a duckling. And that duckling was gathered under the wings of a mother duck who had a whole brood of ducks. And they probably even swam in a row because that's what ducks like to do. But as this duck grew, it knew it was different than these others who had come to love and who had come to love it. Until one day, as it grew fully into itself, and it found to be a beautiful swan. For me, it's not the story of the becoming the swan that really tells us about Jesus. It's the story of the mother duck, the one who gathered in under her wings one that was so different from the rest, and kept that ugly duckling with her, kept that ugly duckling safe and secure so it could grow into itself and be who God created it to be, even though it was different from the rest of her chicks. In today's scripture, we have Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And when he speaks about his time here on earth and what he's meant to do and meant to be, we always think, well, at least I do, that he somehow, it's Jesus here and the Pharisees and the Sadducees there, and they're at war with one another. And they can stay where they are because Jesus is going this way and he doesn't really care if they come along. But that's not the truth. That's not the truth. The truth is Jesus wanted them to come along as much as he wanted the one who looked different. As we listened to our Lenten readings this morning, Jesus ate with sinners. Jesus chose to be with the tax collectors. Jesus chose to have at his table the ugly ducklings of the world. But that doesn't mean he didn't want the Pharisee sitting beside the ugly duckling, or beside the tax collector, or beside the prostitute. He didn't want the scribes there with them. He wanted a whole community. He wanted everyone at his table. God wants everyone under his wings. None of us will be worthy enough to be there. But that doesn't matter to God, because to God, we are his beloved children. And so Jesus is here knowing he's entering into Jerusalem, knowing he's entering into that time when he will be raised on the cross and his arms won't be wings, his arms will be stretched out for his death. But even then, he brought one in under one of his arms when the thief said, "Can I be with, I'd like to be forgiven." And he says, "You will be with me in paradise." And it's really wonderful to go to a concert and hear a person, Lauren Daigle, proclaim the same thing as she talked about the woman who had been found in adultery and how God brought her through Jesus under his wing so that she could grow into whoever God called her to be. And those who walked away realizing they weren't sinless, they weren't rejected from the community, they chose to walk away. But Jesus would open his arms if they just turned around. If they just turned around. He is pretty much weeping here for Jerusalem and weeping for those who know the scriptures, who know the story of God's love for them. He's weeping because they can't see God with us in Jesus Christ. And he tells them, "You won't see me again until I come again, and you will say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" I don't know if you know how that feels to be brought in to a community and loved just as you are. That they don't say, "Well, you need to conform to how we look." Or they don't say, "You need to conform to how we act." They say, "Oh, we're so glad you're here. I've missed you if you've been here before. and I haven't seen you in a while. And we watch you grow. We're going to have Youth Sunday in a few weeks, in a few months. And I'm really excited because CT and Matthew and Olivia and John Heaton and Callie Sears all went through confirmation together. And CT's sitting out here and I'm seeing him in his 18-year-old self. But I have pictures of him in his 12-year-old self. And we've watched how being under the wing of this body called Plank Chapel, how he has grown into who he is today. Maybe not, we're not all responsible. There might be a mom and dad hanging out there that are part of the responsibility. But to know Christ, to know that he's beloved as a child of God, that's part of those baptismal vows we make when we baptize an infant or when we baptize an adult. We are basically being like Jesus and bringing them under our wings. What I hope is that we don't become like Jesus and weep too much for the ones who aren't there, for the emptiness that's under here, that somehow we, through our humanness, have caused them to step out from underneath the covering of God. So this time of diminishing light is a time to reflect on where God needs to work within us so that we can be the one who can call people in. That the first week we dealt with our temptations. What are our temptations that keep us away from those wings? And this week we're looking on where are we being judgmental? Where are we being critical of others so that they don't feel that they are welcomed into this space? Because Jesus weeps. Jesus weeps when those who he would love to be part of the beloved community feel that the community has excluded them. There's nothing more than God wants than is the reconciliation of the world to God. So we, as followers of Jesus Christ, are tasked with helping bring that about by loving, as Bob Goff, we finished the Bob Goff series this week, as Bob Goff says, to love everybody always, which even means to love our enemies. And I thought I was going to finish, but I do want to tell you a Bob Goff story, because Bob Goff is an ambassador to Ghana or Uganda. And they have witch doctors, and what the witch doctors do there is sacrifice children to give them power. So they either cut off parts of their bodies, or the heads have a lot of power, and other particular organs of the body have power. So either they'll kill them or maim them, and then they'll die. So one child lived, and Bob Goff, as a lawyer, was able to persecute the witch doctor. But then he tells of the witch doctor's conversion, of meeting him and the doctor, witch doctor, asking for forgiveness, and how the witch doctors don't know how to read and write. So Bob Goff begins this process of teaching these witch doctors how to read and write. And he said, they're the oddest group of people, the scariest group of people, but I'm going to teach them how to read and write. He taught them through two things, his book, the two textbooks they have, his book, which is Love Wins, I think that was the name of it, and the second book was Scripture, the Holy Bible. Those were the only two books these witch doctors had to learn about reading and writing. And he says he gets this phone call in the middle of the night, and those who heard Bob Goff at Pilgrimage know that he never puts any phone call to voicemail. But he answers every call. 3 o'clock in the morning, he gets a phone call. It's two of these witch doctors, and they're like, we know a sacrifice is happening. We know where it is. We know where the boy is. What should we do? And he says, get the boy! And then he gets the text back. And the text says, found the boy with the family. Love wins. We even bring witch doctors under the wings of Jesus. So maybe this week, consider who you might need to love and who you might have been too judgmental of to not love. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.